I have that are called by my name, for I have created them for my glory. So you wasn't created to do your own thing and to do the things of the world. He said, I created you for my own glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him glory. He has made us to be his glory. And you know what glory means? Glory means very great. It means praise and honor and distinction. So he has made us for his glory. You know, one scripture says that we are the workmanship of God. And another scripture tells us that we are wonderfully made. So we know we are wonderfully made by God. And we're made in the image. How do we know? Just say, for instance, how do you know you're wonderfully made? Well, for one thing, we're made in God's own image. We're made in his likeness. We're made to look like him, think like him, move like him. Everything, God has made us to be just like him. So in 2 Chronicles 12:6-7, we're going to read that for you. And it says, whereupon the princes of Israel and the king, they humbled themselves, you know, they humbled themselves. And they said, the Lord is righteous. Lord, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves through the word, this is what he said. When he saw that they humbled themselves through the word, this is what God says. The Lord said, the Lord came to Sennara, and he said, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them. God said, okay, they humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. I'm going to give them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon them. You hear what he said? Shall not be, not it. He said his wrath, his anger, will not be poured upon Jerusalem. And see, Jerusalem is a city. It will not be poured upon Jerusalem. And he says, the hand of Shamshak, it's, you know, he's supposed to be going to destroy everybody. He said, but now listen at this. He says, his anger is not going to be poured out in Jerusalem, and the hands of Shamshak was not going to be the ones that do it. So he stayed that execution for Jerusalem. And just like he stayed that destruction from them, he can do it for us also.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at PO Box 5884.
But when we put it all together,
Alexander,
this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. We go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn to Matthew 6:33 and find these words, please. Matthew 6, verse 33. And it simply says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, prioritizing to prosper. Prioritizing to prosper. My brothers and my sisters, it's so important for us to understand the principles of God's word and understand that it is through his word that we unlock all of the blessings that God desires to place in our lives. It's through his word and the understanding of his principles, his statutes, that we understand how God desires us to walk, how to talk, how to live, and how to prosper. And so in this, what is historically known as the Sermon on the Mount, that extends from Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. It is where Jesus went into a high mountain and got himself set. And then the Bible says he sat down and taught them. One of the reasons for sitting down teaching them was because teaching changes folk. Preaching challenges folk. It takes time to invest in helping folk understand principles that will profit you if you practice them. And so this is one of the messages that he's teaching them in this historic Sermon on the Mount. And so there are some things that I hope we will gain from this message, though I pray the familiarity of the text doesn't hinder you from receiving new revelation. Because some of you all think you know it already. Well, Pastor, you preached that, yeah, but this is new revelation. The word is still the word, but it continues to give new revelation to those who are being led in the study of the word by the Spirit of truth. So Jesus begins to tell these men, listen, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, the first thing in this verse that is prominent is priority. But seek first. But seek first. Well, now, but is a transitional word which simply changes the flow of the sentence or structure. And so for him to start off by saying but, it makes sense for us to back up. And we'll see verse 32 says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of." Now, he's saying, listen, God knows your every need. He says the problem with the Gentiles or the mentality of the Gentiles is that they're putting the secular above the sacred. In other words, they're putting the things of this world, the tangible things and necessary things, but they're putting them ahead of the spiritual reality that God wants you to have with him. And so when you begin to look at this, it's important to see that prioritizing is paramount, because What Jesus is literally saying is, if you get your focus right, it literally means refocus, refocus. Now, he says, and I need you to understand this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Now, what he didn't say is you could not seek these things, or he didn't say you cannot have these things. He says, put these things in order. Prioritize these things. And see, that's the problem with a whole lot of us. You know, many of us get the word all twisted and messed up in our thought processes, and we begin to think, well, you know, God don't really want us to be blessed. He don't really want us to prosper. Money is evil, when that is clearly not what the word says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we miss the blessings of the Lord. Jesus didn't say you can't seek after these things, but he did say, but seek first. Put in priority status God's kingdom first. So priority is important when we refocus. Refocus our priorities. That's what he's saying to them. Why? Because if you back up to verse 24 and come on down, you begin to see all kinds of things that he deals with that man has need of every day. Every day. And he's not saying anything is wrong with these things that we have need of. He's saying just don't put them ahead of God. In other words, if you really need something, check with what your inner man needs first. The spirit man first. With that helms from the heart of God, the relationship and fellowship that God desires for you. Listen to what the psalmist says, that in his presence is fullness of joy. But then he also has blessings and protection in his hand. And so if you really want something, it simply makes sense to seek God first. Think about it. The flesh always wants its way. Always want what satisfies it. What makes it feel good. What brings it comfort. It doesn't mind putting the spirit on the back burner. It doesn't mind putting the soul on the back burner, as long as the flesh can be taken care of. And the problem is, it's a trap. It's a trick from the enemy. And whenever you put the flesh ahead of the spirit, you head for destruction. Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now he's talking about understanding your relationship and fellowship with God. He's expressing the necessity for being a kingdom dweller. Well, you can't be a kingdom dweller unless you are submitted and surrendered to the king. So it means literally to come under the lordship or rulership of God. And then it says, and his righteousness. And his righteousness literally translate as the rules of the kingdom. Now, what sense does it make to be a kingdom dweller and you don't know the rules of the kingdom? You don't know how to go in. You don't know how to come out. You don't know how to access the presence of the king. Therefore, you don't know how to get the greater blessings of the king. There are general blessings, and then there are guarded blessings that only the good get when they understand how to go before the king. See, you got to know how to get him to extend the scepter. But all of that comes in understanding the rules of the kingdom. And the word of God reveals, unfolds, discloses the rules of the kingdom so that you will understand whatever it is you need, God's got it. See, whatever I have need of in this feeble body of mine, if I look up in the rules of the kingdom, what God provides for it, I will discover he's already got it there. While I'm running here looking for this and looking for that, if I just go to him first, he'll direct me in the right path at the right time with the right purpose and the right plan so that I might prosper. I don't have to lose a whole lot of time looking and wondering and waiting and becoming frustrated by all of the process of how the world goes about doing things if I spend a little time with the Lord. And that's what the people of God miss. You spend all of this time trying to do this and do that and accomplish this and accomplish that and spend so very little time with God. And as a result, your life is not prioritized according to God's plan. So he says, refocus. Tell your neighbor, refocus your priorities. Tell your other neighbor, refocus your priorities. Now here's why. Because if you get your priorities straight, then God will show you the way. He will make the way plain. You know, why are you trying to be a millionaire and do all that? Just pay your tithes and your offerings and spend time with God. And God will give you a $1 million thought that will, make you a millionaire plus in your own business that you can tithe off of and get more money off. No, you ain't got to always do it the world's way. But if you choose to do it, that's your business. But when you want to do it according to the kingdom, listen to this, then that means he is your source. And if he's your source, he also has all of the resources that you'll ever need. So when he says, and all these things, he's talking about resources. Resources. Resources, listen, provided. Now, if you don't get that, you miss the thrust of this verse. The stuff you're running after, if you put God first, he will provide. You're seeking the stuff without the source. And it's much easier to find the source than the stuff. Matter of fact, the source will either lead you to the stuff, or he'll lead the stuff to you, or he'll just create your whole new stuff. Somebody don't believe that. See, there are some things that you require that the source has that the world doesn't. But it don't mean you won't get it because the world don't have it. It just means he has to customize it for you. And I'd like to know that I'm in such a relationship with God that if what the world doesn't have to offer me, God does, and he'll customize it just for me. I wish I had some helpers here. Where you got that from? I ain't never seen one like that. Customized. The Lord gave it. And can I tell you, customized stuff speaks so loud that even the haters hear the custom talking. They might not like it. They might not like you, but it don't even matter because they ain't got nothing to do with what God customized for you. When you prioritize your life, put him first. First, listen at this. And all of these other things, the Bible says, he, your heavenly Father, knoweth. And I like that because knoweth suggests that it's continual. What I have need of. In other words, when my needs change, he knows it. And when my needs change, he knows it and he provides it. I don't have to send him a memo. I don't have to fax him. I don't have to text him. I don't have to email him and say, Lord, my needs have changed. Can you help me? He's already on top of it. He knoweth what I have need of. Your heavenly Father, not your friend, not your boo, not mama, not daddy, your heavenly Father, somebody who can do something about your needs, about your situation. We spend all this time seeking after fleeting and fleeing stuff. When if we spent that time with God, God will make our time prosperous. Prosperous. You'll be surprised the wisdom he shares with you. How he gives you the ability to handle situations. Give you the know-how to deal with people. Reveal things about yourself so you can be better. You'll be surprised at spending time with God, how it produces things in you you never could do in yourself. Or with no other or none other in this world. And so he has resources provided. All these things. Don't discount the word all, because all means all. All. That means every area, every arena, every avenue. All means all. In my spiritual life, in my secular life, all means all. Regarding my finances, regarding my fitness, all means all. Regarding my relationship, whether that's with my wife or whether with my mother or with my children, all means all. I mean, every area, he says he knows what you have need of. And all these things, that's in the earth realm and the spiritual realm. Because I'm made of dust and divinity. My needs don't stop at the flesh. Yes, if he gave me everything in the flesh I wanted, desired, could have, I still would have needs underneath the skin, in the spirit realm. And so wherever that need is, all these things, stop limiting God. Stop putting God in a box and keeping him there as if he can only do this or that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can he not do anything but fail? And so when you begin to realize resources are provided, somebody say resources provided. Say resources provided. Resources provided means very simply that he's already got this thing fixed. My problem is I'm not going to the one who can tell me where it is. I'm trying to figure it out. And you know the song, while I'm trying to figure it out, yeah, he's already. So why waste that time when I can go to the one who's already worked it out? And then we move to the last portion of that verse, which says, shall be added unto you. And that's, listen, he's given us the refocus, he's given us the resources, and now he gives us the rewards. Personally, shall be added unto you. You shall be rewarded personally when you learn how to prioritize your life and put God first. That's the place he deserves. That's the place he desires. None other place will he accept in your life. And so wherever you stop putting him first at, that's where you got to go back and pick him up at. Because when you turned off that road, he got out right there. And all you got to do is go back where you missed him at. And you'll find he's waiting right there for you to refocus, to come back and pick him up. And while you're doing that, you might want to go on and repent also. Because a whole lot of us think we know it on our own. We know it all by ourselves, that God's way is not the right way, or there is a better way, or a newer way, or a quicker way, and there is no way better than God's way. Because even with your way, if you get the money, don't mean you're going to have the joy. Just because you get what, how many of us will be honest this morning and say, there were some things in this life, either saved or sinner, don't even matter, that you wanted so bad, you went a little far out the way to get it. And then when you got it, you wished you hadn't. Well, thank God for those of you who have never been that way. But God wants you to know there's nothing you really want that you run by him that he approves for you, that no matter what you got to go through, it'll be worth everything you've got to go through, because God will make it right in the end. What God knows is more than you'll ever know. So trust God. Stop trusting your heart and your feelings and trust God. God won't open some doors until you acknowledge him. Lord, this key won't work. I will. I've been here pulling on this door and all that. Yeah, but you hadn't called on me. God, sit there and wait until you're ready to invite him in. And then he will add all these things unto you. Reward you personally. Listen, he didn't generalize this, he personalized this. And all these things shall be added. Shall be added. That's rewarded. Shall be added unto you. Why is he adding them? Because you had the good sense to prioritize your life and put him first. Instead of seeking all of these things, you sought to spend time with him. You didn't waste no time. Not with God. Because everything that the enemy makes you think you've wasted with God, everything that the canker worm has eaten up, every bit of the time you spent in study, in sacrifice, in worship, in praise, in prayer, in meditation with God, listen, God will cause you to benefit from that. Ain't no wasted time.